You are Locked On Giants, your daily podcast on the New York Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to a new edition of Locked On Giants. My name's Patricia Traina, and today I'm going solo, well, almost solo. Ed Valentine is off today, and it is a crossover Wednesday special. So as we always do, we have the host of the Locked On team that the Giants are facing the following game. And this week, that is none other than the very talented Mr. Aaron Freeman, who is the host of Locked On Falcons. He is also the editor of FalcFans.com. And delighted to have you on board tonight, Aaron.
I appreciate you having me. I'm looking forward to talking about this Falcons-Giants game.
Looking forward to it as well. And fans, make sure you check out Aaron's work. Make sure you also visit the Locked On Falcons podcast, where I also appeared on a crossover episode, totally new content. And as we break down every angle possible to get you ready for Monday night's big matchup down in Atlanta. So Aaron, let's jump right in. And what we'd usually do is we talk about the offense, the defense, and then the intangibles. So let's start off with the offense and the matchups that you think the Falcons have the advantage over the Giants defense.
Well, I think the big one is obviously the big guy that you know on the Falcons offense, as Julio Jones. And I'm going to be curious to see if the Giants try to shadow him with Janoris Jenkins. I know he's done that in the past against some top wide receivers like DeAndre Hopkins and Michael Thomas. But I think because Jenkins hasn't quite had the season that he's had in previous years, I don't know if that's as favorable a situation for the Giants as it has been in past years. So I think with injuries to guys like Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu, who I think their status is still up in the air a little bit for Monday. But even if they do play, I do think they'll be a little bit limited and it may not be as reliable options for the Falcons passing game as they have been throughout the season. I think a lot more is going to rest on Julio Jones to do the heavy lifting. And if he can take advantage of Janoris Jenkins, I think that will be a situation that will work out fine for the Falcons offense.
Now, there was a report coming out that Devonta Freeman may not play Monday night. If he is out of the lineup, what exactly does that offense lose, obviously, other than, you know, his ability to run? I mean, do they lose in terms of a pass blocker? Is he used often enough in the receiving game? What do they lose with him out of the lineup?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because one of the things we've talked about recently on Locked On Falcons over the last week or so is this weird sort of statistical quirk, coincidence that we're right now terming it right now, just because it's been a relatively low sample size. But if you go back to last season, when Steve Sarkisian, the Falcons offensive coordinator, was first hired, and you look at the three games that Devonta Freeman missed last year, as well as the four games where Devonta Freeman has missed so far this season due to various injuries, you combine those games, and in those games, the Falcons passing game has been very prolific. Matt Ryan's passer rating is in the 125 or above range, I think, combined in those games. And then when you look at the rest of the body of work under Steve Sarkisian, his passer rating is somewhere in the mid-80s. So weirdly, when Devonta Freeman, the team's best running back, is out of the lineup, the Falcons passing game has really clicked over the last two seasons. Again, one of the things that we've been discussing on Locked On Falcons is whether or not those two things are related or is just a weird sort of coincidence. But normally with Devonta Freeman, the Falcons get a much more reliable between the tackles runner. They get a player that has been a more reliable pass protector this season than Tevin Coleman. But one of the things that going up against this Giants defense, when you have a massive black hole against the run that is Damon Harrison, you don't want to run up the middle because that's just basically guaranteed you're going to get 2 yards and nothing more than that. But one of the things that they've been doing with Tevin Coleman being the lead back is running more to the outside, running a lot more tosses and sweeps. And I think that's something without Devontae and going up against this Giants defense, you're going to see a lot more this week. And for whatever reason, again, going back to those weird stats with Matt Ryan, I don't think it's going to be as big an issue if that trend continues, that the Falcons passing game, for whatever reason, continues to click with Devontae out of the lineup.
Now, the Falcons won at home on Sunday against the Bucks, had a big win. I believe their second win of the season. What clicked for the offense that maybe hadn't been clicking for them, you know, in the previous games?
Well, one of the things that they really did much better in week six than they did in week five against the Pittsburgh Steelers was that they were a lot more successful on early downs. Their first down success rate was much higher against the Buccaneers, where it was able to keep their offense on schedule, and it put them in situations that were very favorable for them on third down, where they have one of the better third down offenses in the league. And one of the things that the Falcons have done much more effectively this year than they had a year ago was they've been much more effective at converting third and longs. I think they're actually number one in the league in converting third and seven or more yards to go this season, if I saw the stat correctly. But I think that was a big thing that improved for them. And so if they can do that, if they can get chunk yardage, if they can get consistent yards on that first and second down to stay ahead of the chains and get into some third and manageables in addition to those third and longs, it really makes this Falcons offense really hard to stop. Another thing that they were able to do on Sunday was they were able to dial up the play action passing, which was one of the reasons why they were so effective on some of those early downs, and dial up play action passes and take some shots down the field and get some chunk yardage against the Bucs defense on those early downs, and that was allowing them to be able to move the ball up and down the field for the most part against a struggling Bucs defense.
And on the flip side, what hasn't the Falcons offense really shown yet that you're just waiting for them to show that they can do?
Well, running the football has been a problem for them, and that probably is related to the fact that Devontae Freeman has missed so much time. He is their most reliable running back. Their offensive line has not been great this year. That's been a big contributing factor to some of their struggles. They have several veteran players, but several of those guys look like they might have hit that sort of wall that guys start to hit in their early and mid-30s, where their play seems to decline. That's been a major issue for right tackle Ryan Schrader this year. Alex Mack, the center, who's been a multi-Pro Bowler in this league in Atlanta and Cleveland, has not lived up to his usual standards this season. They're missing left guard Andy Levitre, a veteran, and plugged in third-year player Wes Schweitzer, who hasn't necessarily been great. So those are areas where the Falcons have struggled, and it's really shown in situations where the Falcons have gotten into some obvious passing situations, and in some of these games recently where they've gotten into these shootouts, and in the fourth quarters of these games, they've been forced to be a little bit more one-dimensional than they probably want to be, and it's allowed defenses to pin their ears back and get after Matt Ryan, and they've been more than effective throughout the season to do so. And so one of the things that the Falcons are trying to do, they did a little bit better against Tampa Bay than they had in previous weeks, but they really do need to get a little bit more balance in their offense to at least keep that offensive line from being in some situations that are not favorable to them.
When you look at the matchup between this Falcons offense and the Giants defense, what is the one matchup, whether it be a group, a unit, an individual, that really, really concerns you?
I think the one player on that Giants defensive line that I'm certainly concerned about is Olivier Vernon. Watching him work over Jason Peters last week before Peters exited the game with an injury did not necessarily fill me with confidence, because the one good offensive lineman the Falcons have had for the most part this season has been their left tackle in Jake Matthews, but he has historically struggled against guys that can not only beat him with speed but also beat him with power. And watching Vernon, you know, work back a guy like Jason Peters, who's, you know, a solid 330 pounds versus a little bit more of a traditionally undersized left tackle like Jake Matthews, that is a concern. And it goes back to what I was saying with the offensive line issues, where if, you know, the other offensive linemen have notably struggled, and if their best offensive lineman, Jake Matthews, also struggles, that's probably not going to be a bode well for the Falcons offense.
All right, you're listening to Locked On Giants. We are doing the crossover show with Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and preview the Falcons defense against the Giants offense. Stay with us. Is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right now, right here on the Locked On Giants podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors they hear on their favorite podcasts. Our demographic
is 98% males and more education and earning more than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast. For more information, email LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. That's LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com.
Giants fans, let's talk about advice. Patty and I are always being asked for it, but one thing we can't tell you is who is going to win or lose the games. If you think you know, you've got to check out MyBookie. MyBookie has been in business for years, has great reviews online, and offers an easy-to-use mobile site. You win, MyBookie pays. It's that simple. MyBookie has in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks, and for you fantasy football players out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON to activate this special offer for our listeners. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
All right, welcome back to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina. I am flying solo today without Ed Valentine, my usual co-host, but I am being kept very good company with Aaron Freeman, who is the host of Locked On Falcons, also the editor of FalcFans.com, and we are on a crossover Wednesday show, and Aaron is helping to break down the Falcons, whom the Giants visit Monday night in Atlanta. So, Aaron, let's continue our breaking this down, and let's take a look now at the Falcons defense versus the Giants offense, and just give us an overview on where things stand with that Falcons defense.
Well, they've dealt with major injuries this season to some of their best players. Keanu Neal's out for the season. Ricardo Allen's out for the season. So both starting safeties are down. Middle linebacker Deion Jones is out for at least the first half of the season. The hope is that he'll be able to return in a couple of weeks from the short-term IR. But that has been a major loss. And they've been dealing with injuries to defensive tackle Grady Jarrett. They might get him back this week, maybe. They've dealt with injuries to Tack McKinley at defensive end. He's missed some time, but he should be healthy to go. That has been their major issue, and the problem has been that losing some of their best players, those represent, you know, five out of their probably top six or seven best defensive players, and the problem has been the drop-off from those five or six guys down to the guys that they've been asked to replace them has been really a steep drop. And the Falcons just haven't got much production, particularly in the middle of their defense. It has been very problematic with teams really just attacking them with the running back position. And against this Giants team that has the Saquon Barkley, it feels like all the Giants have to do is just either hand the ball off or check it down to Saquon Barkley. And he's pretty much guaranteed to get at least 15, 30 yards a pop. And that's sort of what James Conner did to them in the Steelers game a couple of weeks ago. And I think Saquon Barkley is immensely more talented than James Conner is. And that certainly is not necessarily a matchup that's going to bode well for the Falcons, I think.
You know, you mentioned checking the ball down to Saquon Barkley. And I think, you know, Giant fans listening to this program probably shuddered and went, no, no, because, you know, they've been checking the ball down a lot to him of late because of the problems on the Giants offensive line. And speaking of that offensive line, you know, you mentioned the injuries on defense, but given the struggles of the Giants offensive line, I mean, are there any matchups that you see that, you know, have you kind of licking your chops, so to speak?
Well, I think for Giants fans, if they're going to continue with their questionable game plans, I think the Falcons defense is the one defense that actually might work against. But in terms of some of the matchups up front, I think with the Falcons, you know, they have some potentially favorable matchups. Grady Jarrett has been probably their most consistent defensive lineman, but he's been missing time as of late. His status is up in the air for Monday, but he has a very favorable matchup, I think, going inside against a rookie like Will Hernandez or right guard Patrick Umame, or center John Grieco. So I think if they can get him back, that would be a huge, particularly because it will also help them be a little bit more disruptive and maybe be able to limit Barkley a little bit on the ground. But at the offensive tackle positions where you have Nate Solder and right tackle Chad Wheeler, I think those are going to be very favorable matchups for the Falcons. One of the things I'll be curious to see if the Falcons do this week is they did this against Cincinnati and it resulted in Tack McKinley getting three sacks. But one of the things that they did was they, instead of putting Tack on his usual right defensive end spot where he's rushing against the left tackle, which is what normally the Falcons do, they switched him to the other side of the offensive line. And against Cincinnati, he was facing a weaker Bobby Hart, which I know you Giant fans are very familiar with, and right guard Alex Redmond. And I wonder, because of the Giants' right side is also their weakness, similar to Cincinnati's, if the Falcons will do that by trying to get Tack McKinley against Chad Wheeler as well as Omame by kicking Tack inside on occasion as they want to do and get some pressure that way. So I think that's going to be a favorable matchup. Wherever Tack lines up, particularly if he's going up against that right side of the Giants offensive line, will certainly be a favorable matchup. I think Grady Jarrett as well, if he comes back this week, will also add some value against that in Giants interior.
Injuries aside, what are some of the signature looks that the Falcons defense usually likes to play? Like, for example, are they more of a soft zone? Are they a cover one? You know, what are their signature looks that they just go to?
Well, it's been interesting because that's been one of the areas of debate since they've had some of these injuries, because some weeks they've tended to be a little bit more zone focused. Some weeks they've been a little bit more man focused. It seems like they want to be a little bit more zone centric and allow some of these young players to that don't have quite the athleticism of the injured players to not put them in situations where they're matched up one-on-one in man coverage. But because in certain games they've had some early breakdowns in that zone, they then have switched to a man defense in order to simplify things for some of those young players that have continually struggled with sort of, you know, maybe some of the processing that is involved with playing zone. So that's going to be an interesting thing, particularly when you go up against this Giants offense that has so many different playmakers. And particularly if Evan Engram comes back, he creates some matchup problems for these Falcons linebackers and undersized safeties potentially. And you, of course, you have Beckham on the outside. You have Sterling Shepard as well. And of course, Saquon Barkley doing his thing underneath. So I think the Falcons will probably start out playing zone. But if you do see some breakdowns early in this game, they won't hesitate to switch to a little bit more man, which will then still give the Giants some opportunities to make some plays if there are some breakdowns.
The Falcons, of course, are coming off their second win of the season from last week's game. What did the defense do well that you feel they need to continue to build upon and keep doing this week when they face the Giants?
The main thing that they were able to do was they were able to create turnovers. And that was sort of the key to them getting some stops against the Buccaneers. Both turnovers came down the field with the Bucs potentially driving for points. And that basically was really the only thing that the Falcons do. I wouldn't even say they do it well defensively, because they don't do anything well defensively at this point. That if they can get a turnover, that's really the only way that you can reliably trust them to get stops. And so I think that's going to be one of the things that they're going to hope that they can do against this Giants offense. Eli Manning hasn't necessarily been that turnover prone, at least certainly in comparison to what he's been in the past. And I think a lot of that is owed to sort of their question marks on the offensive line, trying to get the ball out of Eli's hands quickly and making certain, you know, Barkley into a check down machine and Beckham into a more of a possession wide receiver. But I think if the Falcons can find ways to create pressure up front, maybe force Eli to throw some bad passes and enforce some throws, and particularly if they can get an early lead in this game and force the Giants to have to play from behind and be a little bit more one dimensional, they'll have some opportunities to make some plays on the back end. DeMonte Casey has had, I think, three consecutive weeks with an interception. He has been the replacement free safety for an injured Ricardo Allen. He's been very opportunistic so far this season, and I hope the Falcons think that that train can continue in this Monday night game.
Okay, you are listening to Locked On Giants, Patricia Traina, with special guest Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons and also FalcFans.com. We're going to take our final break and then come back and wrap up with some X Factors. We're going to talk a little bit about special teams, and then we're going to get Aaron's prediction for the game. Stay with us.
We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats apps. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event.
Okay, welcome back to Locked On Giants. This is Patricia Traina, and Ed Valentine is off today, but I am joined by Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons and FalcFans.com, and we have so far broken down the Falcons' offense and defense, and now let's turn our attention to the X factors. But before we do that, let's quick talk about special teams, and the reason why I want to bring it up is because the Giants' special teams have just been awful. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. Every week, it's just an adventure with you know, a punt return, somebody muffing a ball on a punt or a kickoff. I know the Falcons, I believe, have an injury to their kicker. I don't know what his status is for Monday, but I think I saw he was injured. What else can you tell us about the state of the Falcons' special teams, and do you see them having the advantage over the Giants?
Probably not. I think the Falcons special teams has been a little bit of a frustration for fans and coaches alike this year. They've had two punts blocked so far this season. And the season isn't even halfway over. They haven't really gotten a lot of production from their punt returner and Justin Hardy, who has struggled this year, with, you know, helping this team sort of flip field position. The kickoff return game has been a little bit more effective now that they've made the switch to Marvin Hall, who is their fifth wide receiver. But, you know, kickoffs, for the most part, aren't necessarily huge factors in the game, simply because the vast majority of them wind up being touchbacks. And now you mentioned sort of the injury to Matt Bryan, who's been extremely consistent, particularly when he's kicking in home games at Mercedes-Benz Stadium over the years, and he's dealing with a hamstring injury. The expectation is he will not play. The hope is that, you know, maybe an extra day of rest, he will be able to come back. But more than likely, I think the Falcons are going to probably hold him out to prevent risking further injury from that. With the, you know, those hamstrings can be pretty tricky. Right now, as we record this, we don't know who they're going to replace him with, but there's probably a decent chance that they will replace him with Giorgio Tavecchio, who kicked for the Raiders last year. The Falcons brought him in at the end of training camp for that final preseason game while they rested Bryant for that game. And so he's somewhat familiar with the team, but certainly is not a known commodity in terms of how reliable he is, particularly going up against where the Falcons, it may be critical for the Falcons to sort of convert in the red zone in order to win this game. And if they don't have a reliable field goal kicker, that could potentially be even more problematic.
For sure. What are your X factors for this game? What do you think just is going to sway this game, whether it be in the Giants' favor or in the Falcons' favor?
I think the red zone is going to be an interesting one, but I think Saquon Barkley is going to be the biggest X factor. I think there's so much potential for him to just dominate this game almost single-handedly, because the Falcons have been so bad against stopping running backs this season. It's been pretty much, if you check it down, a 6-yard gain could easily turn into a 25-yard gain, and particularly with a talented running back like Barkley, who really does just blow away any of the players that they've really faced, other than maybe Alvin Kamara this season, who absolutely feasted against the Falcons in that week 3 game earlier this season. So I'm sort of expecting similarities, and I just feel like if the Falcons, I don't expect them to stop him. I don't really expect them to contain him, but they just have to sort of maybe just a couple of times get some stops. I don't know how they're going to do it given some of the struggles they've had at linebacker and in the secondary this year. So I think Barkley is an X factor, but not necessarily because I think it could go either way. I just think he's going to be such a dominant player in this week's matchup that it's going to be a huge advantage for the Giants moving forward.
Give me your keys to the game as far as, you know, what the Falcons have to do to win and what the Giants would have to do to win. One or two keys per team.
I think the Falcons need to get off to a good start. I think if they can get off to a good start, they can dictate the tempo of this game. Maybe that will help take Barkley a little bit out of the game, just because the Giants won't run the ball with him and he won't be as effective beating them both in the passing game and on the ground. But he'll still probably be very effective in the passing game. So I think that's a big key for the Falcons. I think if the Giants can establish the run against this Falcons defense, that will certainly bode well for them. And so if they can get off to a fast start on the road, that will certainly help them out and be able to help, you know, keep the Falcons from sort of dictating the tempo this week. As I mentioned, I think the red zone is going to be critical. The Giants have one of the better red zone defenses in the league. The Falcons have one of the better red zone offenses in the league. If the Giants can get stops in the red zone against this Falcons offense, that's going to be huge, because I don't think the Giants are going to have too many problems, despite their struggles in the red zone this season, converting against a very lackluster Falcons red zone defense. But again, if the Falcons do manage to get stops against the Giants in the red zone, that will certainly sway them. Trying to think, is there any other keys that I can think of? No, I think that's probably about it, I would say.
Okay, good enough. And then finally, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. Give me your prediction.
I think this is going to be a shootout. I think Giants fans, you're going to get to be able to see what your offense has the potential to be going up against a very lackluster Falcons defense. So I think you guys will get into the 30s. I'm hoping that the Falcons will be able to do so as well and will be able to prevail, just because they're at home where they've been very effective this year. So I'm thinking of a score, final score prediction, something like 38-34 Falcons with the win.
Wow, you've got the Giants scoring 30 points. Impressive.
I basically, the Bucs only scored 29 points last week, only because they didn't get 30 because they missed an extra point. And so I think literally anybody can score 30 against this Falcons defense.
All right. Sounds good. And Aaron, before we call it a show, let everybody know where they can find you on social media, your work, anything you want to tell the folks.
Yeah, they can check me out on Twitter at FalcFans. Of course, Locked On Falcons has its own Twitter account at Locked On Falcons, so they can check out stuff there. Of course, you can find additional content at FalcFans.com, the website I've been running covering the Falcons for many, many years. So, yeah, that's FalcFans. .com. And that's it. I appreciate you having me on tonight.
I appreciate you taking the time. Great job breaking down the Falcons. And Giant fans, don't forget to check out the Locked On Falcons podcast for their crossover show, on which Aaron was kind enough to have me on as a guest. And I break down the Giants and their matchup against the Falcons as well. So on that note, we'll call it a show. Thank you, as always, for listening. Ed Valentine and I will be back later in the week, and we will have more for you from the Giants on Locked On Giants. Have a good one.